بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. السلام عليكم dear brothers and sisters, and welcome to another session of Ahkam of Fasting. Hope everything is going well with everybody, and the fast isn't too hard on them, and they are making the most of this month. We are maybe on our 13th or 14th, I think 14th episode now, alhamdulillah. And we've covered a lot. As always, if you have any questions or comments regarding what is being covered, you can leave it in the comment section. Don't hold back and don't be shy. Ask your questions, inshallah. Wa alaikum assalam, Shujaa Chigri and Sister Iram Devjani. Glad to have you guys, and Sister Mahnaz. Alright, so first of all, I want to thank Sheikh Mehdi before anything for the rulings he's covering. You see, I'm cheating here because the rulings that I'm covering, you know, they're there, they haven't changed too much, they're not too hard. But what he's covering these past few days when it comes to the traveler and the rulings regarding the traveler, man, I mean, the research that you have to do for that, because this constant change in the rulings and it's hard to really figure things out, and there's big differences of opinion between different maraja. What he's doing, alhamdulillah, I thank him for that, and I'm learning from it too as well. Really helping the people out and the mu'mineen out there who have these questions. And as he said again and again, if you have questions, specific questions regarding your situation, just send them into the institute and you'll get your answer. This I don't want it to seem like this is a fiqhi institute, you know, but those questions can be answered. So I thank him for that. Inshallah, the brothers and sisters out there, they can make the most of that and benefit as much as they can regarding those rulings. There are some very like dense and comprehensive charts that Ayatollah Sistani has in his Risale Tawzi'ul Masail al-Jami'. This is unprecedented, where you would have charts in a Risale Amaliyah and a Tawzi'ul Masail book. But he's put them in there, and they're not easy to figure out sometimes. And that's why, as I said, Sheikh Mehdi keeps saying, send your, if you're in a specific situation, please just send in a question, inshallah, you can get your answers. So, thank you, Sheikh Mehdi. I don't even know if you're watching or not, but thank you. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Ali. Alhamdulillah, looks like you're using your own Facebook account, not your wife's. So, that's good. We thank Allah for that. Brother Tahir Ali, assalamu alaikum. I look vibrant today. Oh, okay, good. I don't know, maybe it's the lighting, I don't know. Ahmed Hamoud Habibi, kifak, inshallah, you're well. Wa alaikum assalam, Brother Ayman. That's cool. We got Brother Ayman in California. We got Ahmed Hamoud in Sydney. We got Brother Tahir in Dallas. Ali Abdi in Houston. MashaAllah, all over. Okay. What we covered last time, we covered intention, right? Wa alaikum assalam, Sarush. Also from Austin, if I'm not mistaken, yeah? If it's the same Surush that I know. We covered intention and the how, you know, the different intentions work for different types of for different types of fast. Mustahab, wajib, mu'ayyan, wajib, ghair, mu'ayyan. All that stuff was explained last session of when the last moment is that you can have an intention and that your fast will still be valid. I'm not going to get into that anymore. I want to talk about what we're going to be covering today, because from today onwards, wa alaikum assalam, Sister Uzma from the UK. I don't know if you still live in Sheffield or not, but yeah, mashallah, look at that, from all over the world. We have to, inshallah, start an important topic regarding the fast, and it's one of the two last topics that we're going to have for in these Mizan live sessions. One of them is the kafara for not fasting, and another one is going to be the rulings regarding qada and making up fasts, because there are some rulings pertaining to that as well that are important and people usually have questions on as well. I want to cover all of that. I don't know how many more days we have. We have a good number of days left. Inshallah, we can go through all of those in the days that we have left before we reach the nights of Qadr. I'm looking to wrap it all up before then, inshallah ta'ala. Alright, so I'm going to start with kafara slash fidya. kafara slash fidya, and the rulings regarding these. Kafara, sometimes the word kafara is used, sometimes the word fidya is used. They're used interchangeably. In this part of Ayatollah Sistani's book, he uses them. There are four categories of kafara, he says. But when the time comes for each of these four categories, out of those four, two of them he refers to as kafara, two of them he refers to as fidya. So, as I said, these words, you don't want to get lost in them, these terms. In the end, you can just call it a penalty. Now, I know penalty implies that you've done something wrong, that's why you have to give a penalty. But no, kafara means more than just penalty. It's more broader than that. A way of compensating, or a way of making up something. Okay, now sometimes you're making it up as a penalty. Sometimes you're just making it up, you know, because if something was missed and something else is going to take its place. That's what kafara, you can say, means literally. You know, something that takes the place of something else, covers something else up, you know. I think that would be the most accurate equivalent. You know, a cover-up, something that covers up. Not a cover-up, something that covers something else up, makes up for it, that kind of thing. Alright, so we have four categories here. I want to, you know, go through them in general, just so you have a good idea, you know, and the outline of what we're going to be, you know, covering. But then, I'm going to go into each of them. I don't know how many of them we're going to be able to cover today. But yeah, I think it's a good idea to first go through all four of them very quickly in general. Just, you know, just go through their titles each. So the first one, the first category, the first kafara that can become wajib on someone, Ayatollah Sistani says, is the kafara for iftar amdi, al-iftar al-amdi or ta'ammudi, which means that you break your fast without any excuse, voluntarily, in the month of Ramadan. Okay? I don't know how to respond to Brother Asad. Hey Asad, if you're waving your hand, all I can say to you is, hey, what's up? You didn't say salam, so I don't have to respond with salam, right? The kafara for breaking your fast in the month of Ramadan, voluntarily, willingly, knowingly. That's the first thing we're going to have to cover. Number two that we will get to, inshallah, is called the yearly fidya, he refers to it as. The yearly fidya. This has to do with those who are ill. Right? There is a big misunderstanding. Just a couple days ago in our center, I was approached with this question as well. There's a big misunderstanding there, how this works, how this yearly fidya works. So don't get scared. Fidya, oh my God, the first one was kafara, second one was fidya. What's the difference? As I said, they will refer to the same thing. And that is that, hey, buddy, you're not off the hook. You got to make something up after the month of Ramadan is over, whether it's monetary or whether it has to do with fasting. Okay? Number three is kafara tu ta'khir. The kafara for delaying. Delaying what? Delaying making up the fast till next year. Number two and number three, actually, they are very, very similar, but with the difference that number two has to do with the ill, number three is just general. Anyone that's, you know, didn't make up their fast till next year, and they weren't ill either. We'll get into the details, as I said. Number four is the daily fidya, he calls it. Daily fidya. That fidya that becomes wajib after every day of not fasting. Who is that talking about? It's talking about, you know, those cases that we spoke about before, but, you know, I'm going to have to, you know, talk about a little bit more also when we get there. The old woman, the old man, the one who has a situation and a condition where they get thirsty very quickly and it's unbearable for them due to the thirst that they have to fast. And also the pregnant woman and the one that is nursing. I know I've covered these before a little bit, but there might be some more details that I might want to add to that once we get to category number four. So these are the four categories of fidya slash kafara becoming wajib. Anything that's not on this list, brothers and sisters, right here, I'm going to say it straight up. Fidya will not be wajib on them. If a person doesn't fall under one of these four categories that we're going to cover, fidya or kafara will not be wajib. As I've said before, people are of this understanding that for any missed fast in the month of Ramadan, kafara or fidya has to be submitted and paid. No, that's not the case. Okay, let's go. Let's jump into the details. Kafara number one was breaking the fast in the month of Ramadan. So these four, by the way, these four categories that I mentioned, these four have to do with the month of Ramadan, right? So the kafara slash fidya that has to do with the month of Ramadan is one of these four categories. All right. Mas'ala 2053 of Risale Tuzil Masail al-Jami' says that this has to do with, this kafara has to do with a person who breaks their fast voluntarily through one of the invalidators of the fast that were discussed. Okay, what is the kafara for such a thing? Wa alaikum assalam, Brother Akbar, welcome. What is that kafara? What is that penalty? Masala 2054 says that if a person breaks their fast without any excuse, I know lots of us know this, but I'm just going to go through it real quick. A person who breaks their fast, all of us know this because we don't ever want to have to do this. So we've learned it exactly how it is, and we avoid it, inshallah. A person who breaks their fast voluntarily, willingly, without any excuse, there is one of three things they can do as kafara for that fast that they've broken. One, to free a banda. Yeah, to free an abd. We don't have abds anymore in this day and age. We're going to skip that one. But it's interesting how Islam, from day one, was promoting, you know, was against this idea to an extent. Although it couldn't counter it right away. But at the same time, any excuse that Islam could find to free an abd, they would do so. And they would push for it. So this is one of them. If you break your fast voluntarily without any excuse, then freeing an abd is enough. But that doesn't happen anymore because we don't even have that. So let's move on to the other two ways of making up that, you know, making up for, or you know, doing, paying the kafara for a fast that we've broken like that. And that he says, or to fast for 2 months. And there will be details for that. 30 days or so of that, 29, 30 days based on the moon sighting, of that have to be consecutive plus one day of the next month. Okay? There are details there that we'll get to. Or to feed 60 poor people, 60 faqirs. This faqir also has its own details. What this faqir is, not just any poor person, there are conditions and criteria there as well. How do I feed them? What can I do instead of that? Do I have to like give them food necessarily? As I said, we'll get to those details, but no, not necessarily, you know, feed them. You can also hand them over the food and they can sell that food. Sell that food off and use the money for something else, yeah? How much money would I have to pay them if I wasn't going to feed them? He says, for every day, for every one of these 60 people, each of them, 750 grams, about around, he says, taqriban, he says, 750 grams of food. Okay? And we need to remember that 750 grams, because we're going to have it in those other categories, the other three categories of kafara as well. This first category says you either have to free a slave, or you have to, and as I said, there are no slaves today, so that's out the window. Or fast for 60 days, details that we'll have later, or feed 60 poor people. 60 poor people that will have details about that how, what this poor person, what the conditions are for that poor person, we'll have to talk about later as well. One of these three, those 60 people, if you're not going to feed them, you want to give them money instead, although there are major details regarding the money that's given, so you'll have to, you know, stay with us so that we get to that, to the details of that as well. You can't just hand the money and say, go, this money is yours. It's more than, there's more to it than that. But for now, in a nutshell, 750 grams of food, foodstuffs. What foodstuffs? He says, for example, wheat, barley, bread, wheat, flour, you know, that kind of stuff. The flour of wheat and so on. I probably think, also I've seen elsewhere, rice, raisin, dates, corn, these are the things he says that can be given. So if I have to do 60, if I have to feed 60 people, I can also give 60 muds, it's called, which equals 750 grams almost. 750 grams of food. So 750 muds I can give to each person separately. So that's 60 people times 750 each. So I don't know how much that is. You can do the math of that. Yeah, 750 grams times 60. As I said, there are details. You can't just give them the money of it. So for example, today if you go out, how much is a loaf of bread? It's more than, I think it's more than 750 grams, right? A loaf of bread will cost you like $2, right? $2, for example. I'm just saying. That means $2 times 60, that's $120 for each day that you broke willingly, voluntarily, without an excuse. But can I just hand the money to 60, each of these people, $2 each, give them? Can I give them just money? No, there is more than, there's more details. Can I give 60 muds of food? Can I give it to one person and will it count? No, that's also something we need to talk about later. Brother Akbar, what do you mean by 45 grams? I need to, 750 grams per person. I don't know, 45, you mean 45 kilograms probably, huh? You probably mean 45 kilograms. Yeah, so it'll be 45 kilograms for one day that you've broken on purpose without any excuse. Okay, yeah, there we go, 45 kilograms, yeah. So now he says, he goes on to say it to the Sistani, he says, but sometimes it's not possible, right? I can't afford it, I can't fast 60 days, I can't afford like 60 people, the details of which will come. I have to keep saying this again and again and again. The details of which will come. He says, if you can't do that, you have to give to the amount of poor people that you can afford. One mud to each of them. And if that's not even possible, you can't even afford one, which in this day and age, for people living in the West especially, that's not a problem. Okay, so anyway, but he says, if someone can't do that even, they do istighfar. And if any time in the future they can, they give the kafara. If yes, ihtiyat wajib. Yeah. Let's move on to the next masala. I think that's pretty clear. Next masala says, if a person chooses to do 2 months of fasting for that one day that they miss, which by the way, I have to say, brothers and sisters, the penalty for breaking your fast like that shows how great the fast of the month of Ramadan is. That one day of it is equal to, I don't want to say it's equal to, the penalty for breaking it is equal to 60 days of fasting with the details that I'm about to cover too. So I don't think it's worth it, brothers and sisters. I don't know. One day for 60 days, I don't know. You tell me, brothers and sisters, is it worth it or not? The next masala says, if a person chooses to do the 60-day penalty, they have to do 1 month and 5 days, excuse me, not 1 month, 1 month and 1 day consecutively, right? And of course, that's going by the lunar calendar. They have to do it continuously. This is something that people usually don't know. They've just heard about the 60-day penalty, and they might say, you know, I'll spread it out throughout the year. You know, that's not how it works. This fasting has to happen 1 month plus 1 day consecutively. And then he adds, someone might say, but that's not fair. What if I can't do it? Something comes up. I have to travel for something, or I get sick in the middle of it. Does that mean I have to start all over again? He says, if for whatever reason, for whatever justified excuse, a person can't do them, something comes up in the middle and they can't do it, it's okay. But if they don't do it consecutively, then what? Then they have to start all over again. Wow. So like he's on like day 25. His friends are like, "Hey, we're going to, like, I don't know, SeaWorld in San Antonio," and they live in Houston. Well, first of all, I don't know, SeaWorld, I don't know, whatever. Let's go. We're traveling. I don't know. We want to go camp somewhere. And this guy doesn't want to miss out, and he travels with them, and he can't fast anymore because of his travel. Then this person will have to start all over again. Now, really tell me, is it worth it or not, guys? I don't know. I don't know what to say. He says, Ihtiyat wajib. Yes. All right, so I'm gonna sum, this is what he says in this mas'ala altogether. So he says, if a person has a valid reason, okay, I kind of didn't say it properly. Let me say it again in a proper way. It's not too different. He says, if a person has a valid excuse to not be able to fast those 60 days consecutively, okay, so I want to repeat what I said, okay? It's going to get even harder, okay? If a person can fast 60 days consecutively, he says, ihtiyat wajib, not 60 days, yeah, 60 days, he says 2 months, do it consecutively. All 2 months, do it consecutively, all right? That's what he says. If you have an excuse, then do it 31 days, the 1 month plus 1 day consecutively, okay? If you have an excuse and you can't do the 2 months consecutively. That's what he's saying here. I'm sorry. When you're preparing beforehand, you're like, oh, that's all easy. I got this. I got this. But then when you actually get into it and the camera is on you and stuff, you're like, oh my God, people are watching me. Oh my God. And then you start forgetting the stuff. And so anyway, no, I'm not too stressed here. So, but yeah, that's what he's saying. He says that if you don't have an excuse, then you have to do 60, the 2 months consecutively. If you have an excuse, 1 month plus 1 day consecutively, and it'll be okay. I hope that's clear. Once again, I mean, this is not something I don't think anyone's gonna do anyway. Even if someone breaks their fast, God forbid, without any reason, for no justified reason, they'll probably choose the fidya or the kafara of paying 750 grams to 60 people each. I think that's what they'll usually choose. The next mas'ala says, if a person chooses to do the 2 months of fasting as their kafara, they should not start on a day that they will know that an Eid day that it's haram to fast on is going to fall in those 31 days or that month plus 1 day. Right? So, for example, I don't know, it's the first of Dhul-Hijjah. This person can't start doing it. I mean, they can start the fast, but then once Dhul-Hijjah comes and they have to break, they can't fast because it's an Eid day that it's haram to fast on, they're going to have to start all over again after that. This is what he's saying here. Yeah. In other words, what I'm getting out of this is that if that person knows that Eid al-Adha, or Bakar Eid they call it, I just learned this last night, the Bakar Eid, Bakar like means the cow Eid, you know, the Eid of sacrifice. The Desi community calls it the Bakar Eid. In Farsi they say Eid al-Qurban, and in Arabic they say Eid al-Adha, usually. What I'm getting out of this mas'ala is that if a person knows that after a month plus 1 day it's going to be Eid, they can do their fast. They can do this kafara. This is only for if the Eid falls in that month plus 1 day, then you shouldn't be doing it. Oh, Bakra is a goat in Urdu? Oh man, that makes it even worse, by the way. I thought you guys call it the Bakar Eid because, you know, it's about sacrificing, doing qurbani of cows, usually. But yeah, goats too. But I didn't know that was a goat in your language. All right. So let me see what we got here. What about theoretically for sisters and their monthly cycle? We'll get to that as well, sister. Ankur Sajjad, wow. Okay. Instead of saying, does that mean you have to start at the first of the month? Or does it mean basically just 31 days in a row? He has not specified. He says a month and 1 day. My guess is 30 days plus one would count. He has not covered that here. Good question. Sister Iram says 60 days penalty plus qaza for that day, 4 question marks. Total 61 for one fast, 2 question marks. Yeah, the question marks are implying that it's not worth it, brothers and sisters. It's not worth it. Okay, Asad Hussain, it's the goat Eid Sheikh. Okay, well, fine. Whatever you Desis say is all good. Yeah, okay. You guys make me laugh. You guys make me laugh. Thank you. All right, let's go on. Let's go on and see if Sister Sakina Jaffrey's question will be answered. If not, I'll answer it. Sister Safina's Wajahad, what about the rest of the 29 days? Do they have to be consecutive as well? No, they don't have to be consecutive. Of course, if this person wasn't able to do all 60 days or 2 months consecutively, if they can, they have to do it consecutively based on obligatory precaution. I don't know what Ayatollah Khamenei here says, so those who follow Ayatollah Sistani can refer to Ayatollah Khamenei. I don't know what he says. He might say that no, the second half of it, the next 29 days, maybe he'll say they're not supposed to be done consecutively necessarily, so they might be able to refer to him on that, Ayatollah Sistani's followers. But as I said, people won't do this anyway. They'll go to the money one or the feeding one, usually. Especially if they've missed like 20 days or 30 days on purpose because they were not religious back then, for example. Yeah, in those cases, usually the fasting, it won't work. It's going to be too much. If a person has missed 10 days, for example, that means 600 days of making up. Missed 10 days on purpose without any excuse, of course. Let's go to the next mas'ala. He says a person who has to fast consecutively, if they don't fast consecutively, they have to start all over again. I already covered that. Next mas'ala. If between the days that this person has to consecutively fast, an excuse does come up, a justified reason does come up to not fast anymore. For example, he says illness. For example, he says haze or nifas. Or a travel, a journey that they have to make where through it, in which they can't fast from an Islamic perspective. After, he says, this excuse, this problem is gone, this person doesn't have to start all over again. Rather, they have to continue the rest right away once that excuse is gone. Once that reason to break their fast is gone. They have to do this right away, right after it's done. He says there's one exception to this though. If it was in your hands that such a situation comes up. He says, for example, if a woman takes certain pills that will cause her to become ha'id, then this exception that I made won't hold anymore, he says. They'll have to start all over again. But if no, it's the normal period that the woman has. It's a journey that it came up all of a sudden. I don't know, one of my relatives passed away. I have to go. Things like that. He says, once that problem is resolved and you can fast again, you have to fast right away or else you're going to have to start all over again. So let's say if this person reached day number 17 of the consecutive fast, day number 18, they have to go out of the city for whatever reason. They have to go. They have to go for like 3 days. So this person goes out for 3 days, day 17 to day 20, comes back to their watan on day 21. Day 21, they have to fast. If they leave it for day 22, they have to start all over again. Wa alaikum as-salam, brother Mahdi Jafri. Sorry if this was asked already and I missed it, but there are two separate days of Eid. Can the same alim lead the Eid prayer 2 days in a row, even though for that alim one day is the true Eid and the other day isn't for him? That is totally irrelevant, Sayyid Mahdi. But since I like you and I've known you for years, I'll answer you. No, they can't do that. You can only do Eid on one day. And the namaz for that Eid belongs to that day. For that day belongs to that day only. You can't have two Eids. If you could have two Eids, then you can have two namazes for one person, of course. I hope that's clear. Yes, Brother Akbar Rizvi says, so if they were not religious, they have to fast 60 times for each one they missed. Right now, I'll say it in a nutshell, yes. Or they have to pay, you know, pay 60, you know, that 60 people, or pay the 60 muds of food to people. That we'll cover the details of later, brothers and sisters. Sometimes a person didn't fast, they weren't religious either, but they didn't fast because they didn't know this is one of the invalidators of the fast. Right? We'll have to cover all of those details. Sometimes they're off the hook still, but usually they're not off the hook. I hate to break it to them. Okay, let's move on to the next mas'ala. Yeah. Next mas'ala. Now he moves on to the actual payments now, or the mud of ta'am and food. He says if a person wants to or chooses to do the kafara for each day, 60 faqirs that he feeds, if this person has access to 60 people that are faqir, he cannot give all of the shares of 60 people to one person, okay, or to 10 of them, right? Although it will total to 60. So let me give you an example. This person has to feed 60 people. He says, you know what, instead of 60 people feeding, I'll feed 30 people, but double. So instead of 750 grams to each of them, I'll pay it 1.5 kilograms to each, because 750 grams times 2 is 1.5 kilograms. Or no, instead of feeding 60, you know, I'll feed 12 of them. But instead of giving each of them one mud, I'll give them 5, because 5 times 12 equals 60. Until the Sistani says, if you have access to 60, if you can get your hands on 60, you can't do this mathematical stuff, man. You can't. Wa alaikum as-salam, Brother Hamid Reza Abdullahi. You can't. 60 people have to be fed. That's if you have access to them. He says, but there is one thing I can say here, is that if there is a family of like 5 people, and there is one breadwinner for that family of 5, so a husband and a wife and 3 kids, and this family is a poor family, you can give one mud to each of these of these 5. Okay, you can do that. Because there are some cases in other parts of Islamic law, brothers and sisters, that you won't be able to do such a thing. But here he says it's okay. You can do that. You can give that food to them. And the husband will take one mud. The wife will take one mud. Those kids, if they're not baligh yet, their father, as their wali, as their guardian, will take it on their behalf as well. So that's 5 right there. Okay, you don't have to say, okay, I'll give one mud to the father, but I can't give to the rest, because they are the dependents of the father. So the father has to somehow, help them out. No, he says that's okay. I hope that's clear. Now, what if I can't find 60 poor people? Of course, here also I do have to say that these 60 poor people don't have to necessarily be in your town, your city. Unlike Zakatul Fitrah, that maybe, inshallah, we can cover. I don't know. That's a big one, actually, that needs to be covered. I don't know if I'll have the chance to towards the end of the month of Ramadan. I don't think I can. I don't, because there's a lot of stuff happening towards the end of the month of Ramadan for me personally. But you have this idea of you can't, you know, send that money out anywhere else if you have people in your city. But here, I haven't seen anywhere that they say for the kafara it has to also be in your city. No. As a matter of fact, there are some little hints here and there that imply that it can go out of the city. So if you can't find 60 people, though, if you can't find 60 people, you can only find 30, he says. He says you can give each of these 30 2 muds of ta'am, of food. But ihtiyat wajib, if in the future you find 30 more, give each of those 30 one mud as well. Ihtiyat wajib. So once again, those who follow Ayatollah Sistani, they can follow Ayatollah Khamenei if he has an easier fatwa here. Wa alaikum assalam, Brother Shadi. Hope all is well. Thanks for tuning in. I think you're from Australia, Brother Shadi. If you are, it's like early morning there. So Thanks for tuning in early morning from there. I don't know if you're in Sydney or not. Next mas'ala. What if someone breaks their fast with something haram? Right? Some of those invalidators of the fast that were covered before, mostly by Sheikh Mahdi and some by me, they're haram too. So for example, having seminal discharge through a haram means, becoming junub, na'udhu billah, we seek refuge in Allah through adultery, for example. Oh, looks like Shadi knows Ahmad Hamoud, so he's from Sydney. Alright, alhamdulillah, we got two Sydney people here. If a person breaks their fast with something haram, let's say they drink wine, God forbid, I don't know, if someone's going to drink wine to break their fast, I don't know why they were fasting to begin with. Knowingly, of course, like sometimes you drink the wine, you think it's just some juice, turns out to be wine. Okay, that won't have the same implications. We're talking about a person who knows all of this, knowingly, willingly, voluntarily, does this. What is the rule for kafara? Now, people will usually tell you that the ruling is that they have to do all of the above for kafara. To free an abd, one. To fast 60 days, two, with all the details that I covered. And number three, to feed 60 poor people. All of it. Some people are of that understanding. But Ayatollah Khamenei and Ayatollah Sistani, I don't know about other maraja, they say that no, it doesn't make a difference. If you break your fast with something halal, or you break it with something haram, doesn't make a difference. Only one of those three things is wajib on you. That's all. Very clearly, they say, he says this. He says this in Minhaj. He says this in Risale Tuzil Masale Jami' that I'm reading off of right now. He says this everywhere. So that's that. Yeah, it's an ihtiyat mustahab at best. And I don't think anyone wants to go by that ihtiyat mustahab. Because it is a tough one. Of course, the first one, freeing an abd, we can't do that. So that's out of the picture. But the other two will have to be done. But that's not necessary, as I said. That's not wajib at all. It's not even mustahab. It's ihtiyat mustahab. There's a difference between mustahab and ihtiyat mustahab. All right, Brother Farhad Zaidi asked the question here. I just discussed this like 5-10 minutes ago. If a person wasn't religious before and missed many fasts, usually they will have to, for every day, you know, feed 60 poor people. Yeah, they're not off the hook. There are some details. Maybe they weren't religious and they didn't know something is an invalidator of the fast. And that might help them out, but usually they know that eating or drinking breaks the fast. So they're not off the hook that easily. Now, if they can't afford it, that's another story. We just covered that as well. If they can't afford it, or they can't do 60 consecutive days and so on, then you know what they can do is istighfar and so on. I covered that, inshallah. You can watch once the recording is uploaded right after this session. Go back and see if you get your answer. If you don't get your answer, then inshallah, send a message into the institute. But yeah, usually the default is that a person who wasn't religious has to make up those fasts that they missed, one. They have to make those days up, and they have to do kafara, which is 60 days of fasting, or feeding 60 poor people. Akbar Sajjad says, if one doesn't have access to the fuqara, can you appoint someone as your wakil to pay the fuqara the kafara on your behalf in an area where there are needy people living? Yes, you can. We'll get to the details of that as well. Inshallah, we'll get to the details of that as well. Let me write that down just in case we don't get to that in this book. I find it in another book. I think he covers it here. Sister Kiran says, can this kafara be paid only to a Muslim Shia, or can the food be given to anyone in need, people in homeless shelters? No, I said there's conditions to that we have to get to, inshallah. The conditions of the faqir that you're giving it to are also going to be covered. just writing these down just to make sure, because these are important. If he doesn't cover them here, I cover them elsewhere. Oh, Brother Shuja, you didn't know that. Well, now you know. And knowing is half the battle, they say. Those who would watch cartoons like 25 years ago, there was this cartoon called G.I. Joe. That was their slogan and motto, that knowing is half the battle. All right, let's move on to next mas'ala. Oh, what happened? I lost where I was. Excuse me, let me scroll down real quick. Technology sometimes kills you. All right. Next mas'ala says, that, sorry, my computer is a little slow here. Says that, gosh, where'd it go? Okay, so we said that it's not wajib to do all three of those. Okay, let's next mas'ala. It says, if a person purposely ascribes lies to Allah and the Prophet, if you remember, that was one of the invalidators. Okay. Kafara won't be wajib at all. Interesting. So, we know that breaking your fast voluntarily, willingly, will bring about kafara, right? Not all of the invalidators doing them purposely and, willfully will bring about kafara. Eating, drinking, you know, all those other things. But this one doesn't. He says, if you attribute lies to Allah and His Prophet, which was one of the invalidators of the fast, kafara won't be wajib on you at all. You just have to make that day up. So that's an interesting point. Bugs Bunny is what you used to watch. Good for you. Yeah. We've all of us have had our share of Bugs Bunny. 2062, Mas'ala 2062. What if, you know, somebody does more than one invalidator of the fast? Right? So this person, you know, has some food, so that's the eating part. And of course, you're not going to have food with some, like, some Pepsi next to it, right? So they have some Pepsi too. And then after they do that, you know, they do other things that invalidate the fast too. Will all of these bring about their own kafara, or will all of them, since they happened in one day, only altogether bring about one kafara? That's a question. Good question. I have to say this before I go on, that a person who breaks their fast voluntarily, you know, without any excuse, it doesn't mean they're still off the hook. It's still wajib for them after they broke their fast to keep the respect of the month of Ramadan. It says ta'adduban. It comes from adab. Out of adab, or maybe ta'addub here means to, you know, learn a lesson. Whatever it is, they have to keep the fast still till iftar time. And they have to make that day up, and they have to give the kafara, right? So that's one thing we have to remember as well. If a person breaks their fast, it doesn't mean they're off the hook. So now someone breaks their fast, but they go against this wajib too, of keeping the fast still until iftar time, and they have more than one invalidator after they broke their fast. Is that going to be one kafara or more than one kafara? He says, no, it'll be only one kafara for all of what they did in that one day. Yeah. That's that mas'ala. Next mas'ala. I'm just reading and translating in my mind as I go on. I can read to you, but that'll be even more boring maybe. Let me try that. Next mas'ala says, اگر روزدار در ماه رمضان با زن خود که روزدار است جماع کند چنانچه زن را اکراه کرده باشد باید کفاره روزه خودش و بنابر احتیاط واجب کفاره دیگری بابت اکراه زن بدهد. It says that a person, a guy, not the woman, but the man. This only holds for the man. If he forces his wife to have intercourse with him, forces means like really forces. If he says you better do this, and she says oh now I'm forced, and she says yeah, no, that doesn't count. Forces means forces. And she has no choice. He has to give kafara for himself and ihtiyat wajib, another kafara for his wife as well. The opposite, I don't think, holds. Yeah, if the it says if the wife forces the husband through whatever means, I don't wanna, you know, get into that, like how the wife would force the husband. But anyway, if she does that, his kafara won't be wajib on her. Only a kafara would be wajib on her, I think. But vice versa, it says here, bar shohara unis kafara wajib nist. His kafara won't be wajib on her. And of course, the kafara won't be wajib on him either. Anyway, this doesn't come up that much either. There are details here that I'm going to be skipping because this doesn't come up too much. Yeah, let's jump a few of these, skip them. Okay, next masala that's more pertinent to us. It says, kisi ke amdan roze khud ra batil karde, if a person breaks their fast on purpose, if after dhuhr they travel, and as a matter of fact, even before dhuhr they travel, a traveling that, you know, breaks the fast, kafara will still be on their shoulders. You see, brothers and sisters, we're trying to be smart here, right? A person will say, man, I broke my fast, 10 a.m., you know, I couldn't help it, I broke my fast. Now, let me do something so that fasting isn't even wajib on me. And they travel outside of the city before dhuhr time. Yeah? Is fasting wajib on them? No, fasting is not wajib on them because they're traveling before dhuhr time. They traveled out of the city. They traveled after the Hajj al-Tarakhlus and they went the 8 farsakhs and back and all of that. He says, no, nice try, but it doesn't work like that. You were fasting at that moment, 10 a.m. when you broke your fast. So I'm sorry, you still have kafara on you and you have to make that day up as well. That's how it is. Even if it's not in your hands, brothers and sisters, something really comes up and you have to travel for it. Still, it doesn't matter. Because it was in your hands before you traveled and you broke it without any excuse. Not only that, the next masala is even nicer. It says, if a person breaks their fast on purpose and then something like haze and nifas comes up, so for sure that day wasn't wajib on them. Wasn't wajib on them, but still they were fasting. He says, I know I scared you, but if you actually become haiz and nafsa, one of these, it is ihtiyat mustahab to give up, to give kafara. So this is good. This is good. This is not like the previous one. A person who, a sister who breaks their fast 10 a.m. without any excuse, but then happens to become haiz, later on, he says that they won't have to give kafara. That's good. That's interesting. اگر فردی عمدن روزه خود را باطل کند و بعد عذری مانند حیض نفاس و مرض برای او پیش بیاد، احتیاط مستحب آن است که کفاره بدهد. So these people are off the hook. So what if somebody does that to them on purpose, to themselves on purpose? Okay, let's say someone broke their fast without any excuse, and then they're like, you know what, man, I'm going to have to do this 60 day thing or 60 faqir thing, I don't want to do that, let me do something that I become ill or I become ha'iz or whatever it is, and through some pill or something, I don't even know if there is such a thing, they become ha'id. Ayatollah Sistani says kafara is not wajib on them. Things like that, it won't be wajib on them. The only thing that he says it'll still be wajib on is if they do a musafarat, if they do safar, if they travel. Okay, I hope that's clear. If there's any more clarification that's necessary, please say it. If some brother Shadi says if someone had the intention to break their fast but then didn't break their fast and then changed their intention, so they have to pay kafara, and is their fast still valid or invalid? I think we covered this before, Brother Shadi. We covered this before in the intention part. I don't know if he said it there or not. I don't remember exactly what the ruling was. If a person breaks their fast through intention only, changing their intention. Let me see if I can find the notes that I had before. I don't think I can find the notes right now. I don't know where they went. That day would be batal if they don't make it up before Dhuhr time. They fix that intention up. From what I remember, what it was that they had to keep their fast with the intention of qurba mutlaqa, and then make that day up later with the intention of qurba mutlaqa again. I'm not sure if kafara would become wajib or not. Please go to the session that we covered intention on and see for yourself, okay? I don't remember either if you have to pay kafara or not. Go check that out. Check that session up, inshallah. Check that session out and see if I said it there. I don't have the notes right now. I don't know where I put them. And I can't get up and look around right now. Okay, now, moving on. It says if a person, he might cover it later too, Brother Shadi. I'm not sure. Let's see. Next message says, again, okay, this one's important as well. This happened actually once. In Qom or in Iran, you know, before Adhan time, the radio, TV, all of that, they'll air du'as and Quran and stuff like 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 15 minutes before Adhan time. You know, getting close to Maghrib time, spiritual time, you know, that kind of thing. And so there were some kids who were visiting. Kids meaning like they were, you know, they were baligh, but they were like 15, 20 years old. And they were visiting Qom. Now, this kid didn't know, and it was Ramadan time too, by the way. This kid didn't know that, you know, when in Iran, this is how it works. You know, before Adhan time, they will actually air some du'as and Quran and stuff. So he thought that's the Adhan going off. And so what did this poor thing do? Bichara, he started having his, iftar. He thought it was, Adhan time. I think I disconnected for a split second. I hope everything's clear. So this kid thought Adhan time had set in, Maghrib time had set in, it's iftar time, and he broke his fast. Later on he found out that, oh my God, that was just dua. We had like 15 minutes left till iftar. So he had voluntarily eaten something, voluntarily, but he was mistaken on it, right? What's the ruling on that? Well, it depends. It really depends. It says here, if a person is not sure that Maghrib time has set in yet and breaks their fast, if this is in the month of Ramadan, they have to do qadha, make that day up one, and they have to give kafara as well. They have to give kafara as well. Why? Someone might say, why? What's important here is that they had shak, it says. They were doubtful, you know? They're not sure, has Maghrib time set in or not? This brother who broke his fast that I just told you his story, he was 100% sure, but he was mistaken. If you're 100% sure and you're just mistaken, you have to make that day up. Because you voluntarily ate at the end of the day, before Maghrib time. Although you were mistaken. The mistaken part won't allow kafara to become wajib on you, but you have to make that day up. But here it's not saying such, it's not talking about such a scenario. We have to be careful. It's talking about a person who knows it's still daytime, 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 knows. Now it's like 8:20. They're like, you know what? Maybe iftar time has arrived now. Because, you know, the sky's a little dark. Maybe, maybe not. They're not sure yet. They're not allowed to break until they are 100% sure the time for iftar has arrived. Brothers and sisters in centers, you know, sometimes I see this happening. The calendar, the apps will say like 8:46 is Adhan time, right? You walk out 8:42, you see some people are eating. Now, maybe they're sure that it's time to eat for them. It's between them and their Lord. If they're sure, they're good to go. But if you're not sure yet, and now the time, you know, you feel like, oh my God, is it time yet? I'm not sure. If you're not 100% sure, you're not allowed to eat anything until iftar, you're sure, has arrived. Just like in the morning for Fajr and your suhoor, your sahri, there we said, what was the ruling? The ruling was that you can continue eating until you're sure Fajr time has arrived, if you remember, guys. But here, the same rule holds. You can't. You have to continue with what you were doing, which was fasting, until you're sure iftar has set in. If you're not sure yet, If someone asks you and you're like, you know, I'm not sure yet, but maybe it has, and you just do your iftar, not only qada, but kafara will also become wajib on you. Okay? Asad says, Shaykh, some centers add ihtiyat upon ihtiyat to their maghrib time. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. What can I say? There was this one center I was at once, and they had someone visiting as well, other than myself. And usually I was leading the salat there. One night I wasn't able to make it or something, and that other visiting scholar led the salat. And I came to find out that it had taken like 45 minutes more than, you know, the iftar time for them to finish their salat, and people were pretty upset. Yeah, unfortunately we have that as well. Ihtiyat upon ihtiyat is not necessary if you're sure the time has arrived. Yeah, some countries out there, maybe Scandinavian countries, I don't know, that have long days or have weird kinds of days. I don't know what's going on there, really. And, you know, they're not sure if iftar time is like 8:45 or is it 9:45. So that kind of ihtiyat might be different. But in the West, here in America, for example, I don't think we'll have any cases like that where the ihtiyat, there's such a gap between the ihtiyat. Ihtiyat for me, brothers and sisters, is what the apps say. I'll add like 2 minutes to it, personally. I'm not saying you have to go by that, but personally, I'll add 2 minutes. Even that 2 minutes, that might not be necessary, because you can tell from the sky that it's if it's Maghrib time or not. Wa alaikum as-salam, Sayyid Hassan Ali Rizvi. Been a while, brother. Where you at? Where you been? Hope you're well. Good to see you. You tuned in on the first day of when we started these Mizan live things, and then now you're tuning in. You must be busy too, like myself. All right, Brother Akbar Rizvi, so it's better to break fast after Salat Maghrib. It's better in the sense that it's mustahab. Yeah, just yesterday I saw this in Ayatollah Sistani's Q&A. It is mustahab to do it after Maghrib and Isha to break your fast. But if you're not going to wait till Maghrib and Isha, you know, at least wait till, you know, the time that these calendars / apps are saying, because they are based on calculations that are pretty accurate. If you want to add a couple minutes, even add a couple minutes. But you can't add, you can't like start like 6-7 minutes before that calendar, what that calendar says, because you're not sure. Personally, I wouldn't be sure. That's some dangerous territory to walk on, because I ain't doing no 60 days. I'm not making up no 60 days for one day that I miss. I don't know about anyone else out there who might think it's worth it, you know? Brother Shuja asks, if a person is addicted to cigarettes and can't fast, does that person need to pay kafara? Well, no, I don't think that would count, but it really depends on the situation. If it's going to really kill them and it's unbearable and they have to smoke, it falls under the category of unbearable hardship that I've covered before. Sayyid Rizvi, you're doing lots of ihtiyat. I don't know why you're doing lots of ihtiyat. From how I know you, you're not the type who would do a lot of ihtiyat. I don't know. All right. Next masala before I end. If a person goes by what others tell them and breaks their fast, okay? Sometimes it's you and, you know, the sky and that donut, man. That's what it's all about. There's nobody else in the picture. It's you, the donut, although it would be better if you break it with dates, you know, because dates, it's mustahab to break it with dates. But it's you, the sky, and the donut, right? And you're not sure. You're looking at the sky, you're like, man, this donut is so fresh, although the calendar says 8:46, and it's 8:42 right now. I don't know, the sky looks like it might be iftar, and, you know, I don't want this donut to wait for another 4 minutes, because it's so gosh darn fresh. So let's just go for it. Kafara becomes wajib if you weren't sure. And it turns out that it wasn't iftar time. But sometimes, no, it's not just you and the sky and the donut. It's you and somebody else telling you it's iftar and the donut. Yeah. So you're standing in the center. Or cheesecake, anything will do, really. It's you standing in the center, and for example, someone comes and you're holding that donut, you know, when iftar time happens, you're not going to let too many seconds or split seconds pass between the transferring of that donut into your existence, okay? So you're waiting there, someone comes in and says, hey everybody, some 12-year-old kid comes in and says, hey everybody, it's iftar time. Before the sentence ends, that donut has made its way to the Sirat-e Mustaqim of your mouth, right? So, you broke your fast not based on this guy, not because maybe, maybe not, someone came in and told you. In this situation, he says, either it's somebody that you can go by their word. In other words, their word is hujjah, it's called. It's hujjat on you, okay? This person who came and told you, like let's say two people who are, you know, just pious individuals come in and say it's iftar time, you know, it's maghrib time. This person, what do? He says, okay, their word can be taken, and they break their fast. And it turns out that no, there was still 10 minutes left. This person won't have to give kafara. They will have to do qaza of that day still, because it was voluntary consumption and eating. So they will have to make that day up. But since they wasn't there, they had a hujjah for what they did. They had a valid Islamic reason for what they did. And that was they took the word of a person or a people that they could take their word of. Then they just have to make that day up. But if the person that comes in and calls out, people, it's iftar time. And that it's like a kid that's like 10 years old and they took his word, although they felt like he might be mistaken, but they just took his word for it. Then if that's a person that's not, their word is not hujjah, then he says, qada and kafara will become wajib on them. Okay? Now, I have to explain here something small. Sometimes a person whose word is not hujjah will tell us something, but we reach 100% certainty through what they're telling us. This hujjah thing that I'm saying, and them being a person that I can take their word for, that is when I'm not 100% sure, but still I can take their word, and I have to sometimes take their word. Okay, that's where it all comes into the picture. But even if a 10-year-old kid comes in and says, hey people, it's iftar time, and I become 100% sure through what they're telling me, and I do iftar, and turns out it wasn't iftar time, in this case, since you were 100% sure, your certainty is also hujjah. So still, kafara will not be wajib on you. Only making up that day will be wajib on you. Okay? So, in a nutshell here, I'll tell you that if you had a hujjah to break it, whether it was through your certainty, even if it came out from a 10-year-old kid, you're good. Only qaza. If a hujjah, like two just people told you it's iftar time and you broke it, also, and it turns out it wasn't iftar, you still only qaza, not kafara will be wajib on you. But if a person whose word is not hujjah on you, comes and tells you, and you don't become 100% sure, but you still take their word, and turns out it wasn't iftar time, qada plus kafara will be wajib. Brother Akbar Rizvi, good question. Are they responsible for giving wrong information? If they did it on purpose, yes, they will be responsible as well. But the kafara is going to still be on you. That's a good, nice try though. That's a good, you know, the imagination gets to work when we want to figure out how to get out of things, you know. The punishment for them, yawmul qiyamah. There is no punishment in this dunya for them, necessarily. They don't have to make a day up or give a kafar or anything like that. That's what I mean. Yes, Sister Sukaina, that's why I'm giving an example of a 10-year-old boy. What they say to us is not going to be religiously binding and hujjah on us. That's why I'm giving this example. So if I'm standing there in the center, ready to put the food in my mouth, and some 10-year-old kid runs in and says, hey people, it's iftar time. And I'm like, you know, maybe he's wrong, maybe he's right. I'll just take his word for it. No, Islam does not allow you to take his word, because his word is not hujjah. It's not binding. So if you take his word when you weren't allowed to, and you break your fast, and it turns out it wasn't iftar, you have to do kafara too, in addition to qada. The only exception I'm making is if that kid comes in and says it's iftar time, and you become 100% sure through what he said, then here, the hujjah on you is your certainty. Your certainty is what's working for you, is the active ingredient here. You're basing your, you breaking your fast, you're basing it on your certainty now. Sometimes certainty comes through a 10-year-old kid telling us. That kid is like super smart, knows everything, teaches ahkam, for example, and he's coming in, and I become 100% sure, but then it just turns out he was wrong still. It's true, his word wasn't hujjah, but my certainty is hujjah. So the problem is caused when that person who is not hujjah, that person's word is not binding on me, comes and tells me something, one, and two, I don't gain certainty through what they say, and I break my fast. That's where a problem is going to be if it turns out to be, if it turns out to be not iftar time. I don't know, I hope I was able to explain that properly, brothers and sisters, yeah? Alright, I know there will still be some confusion regarding that. Let me give you another example, okay? Let's go to the meat market here, okay? In the meat section of Ahkam, they say if a meat is given to you and you're 100% sure it was slaughtered properly, even if a Hindu tells you that this meat was slaughtered properly, but you know this person, you know how much he loves you, how much he's been your friend all these years, he knows how important it is for you to eat zabiha meat, he brings a meat for you, he says, hey, this is zabiha meat. You can't take his word Islamically unless that yields 100% certainty for you. Alright? You can take their word because it's yielding 100% certainty. Right? It's as if you saw it be slaughtered in a proper way. Because you have 100% certainty. Brothers and sisters, you know what 100% certainty means? It's as if you saw it. If I know for 100% sure that this Hindu friend of mine gives me zabiha meat, if he gives me meat, he's going to be zabiha, then I can take it because I'm 100% sure, not because they're Hindu or whatever. But if a non-Muslim gives me meat and tells me, this is halal meat, and I'm not 100% sure, 75% sure, can I take their word Islamically? No, I cannot take their word. If a Muslim tells me, I can take their word because it's a hujjah on me. Even if I don't reach 100% certainty. You see? So all of this talk of hujjah and all that kind of stuff is if there isn't certainty. If I'm 100% sure for whatever reason it is and I gain 100% certainty, I can go by my certainty. Right? So all of these examples that I'm giving of a 10-year-old boy, two just people, all of that is if it doesn't yield certainty for me. If it yields certainty for me, then I just go by my certainty. It's like daytime right now. I'm 100% sure it's daytime. If for anybody, they become 100% sure through the saying of a 10-year-old, through the saying of a Hindu, that a meat is zabiha, then they can go by their certainty. Technically, they're not going by the word of the Hindu or the word of the 10-year-old. They are going by what? They're going by their own certainty now. Islam won't ask, where did your certainty come from? Okay? But if one of these things tells me that it's iftar time or this is zabiha meat and I don't become 100% sure, that's where Islam says, okay, here you have to see who's saying it. If you're 75% sure and it's the 10-year-old kid that's saying it, you can't take his word. I'm not going to compliment the 75% with the 25%. And say, take it as if it's 100%. I'm not going to do that. So you have to reach 100% certainty or you can't take their word. I hope it's clear. Bilal Master, you say, when you talk about pious hujjah, a beard would be necessary, no? Oh God, a lot of homies at the masjid without beards or goatees nowadays that people take their word. Yeah. If they're shaving their beard without any religious... a justification, then that might be a problem, yeah. There are some ways out of it, but those usually don't happen. Anyway, yeah, so for that to be hujjah, it would have to, if they have to be adil, then adala, one part of it will be that. Brother Akbar Rizvi, attributing a hadith to one of the imams, but in fact it is from a different imam, would that invalidate the fast? That's a good question. Like to say that Imam Sadiq said this, but Imam Kadhim actually said it? I don't know. That's a good question. That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. You can ask Sheikh Mahdi tomorrow, because he covered the attributing lies to the imam's part. But I don't think he'll have that an answer to that maybe either, because we've gone through the books before. I don't think they've ever addressed, I don't remember any book that has addressed that question. So that's a good question. I don't know. Alright, so we have a lot more to cover, of course, with the kafara / fidya. We started that today. The kafara / fidya of breaking the fast purposely without any excuse. We covered most of it today. There's a couple more things that I might add tomorrow, but if not, we have to move on to the second category. Once again, we had four categories of kafara. Kafara for breaking the fast on purpose without any excuse in the month of Ramadan. The yearly fidya of the month of Ramadan that has to do with the ill. The kafara for delaying, kafara to ta'khir it's called. Delaying the qada of a fast. And number four, the fidya for the daily fidya for those who are fall into those specific categories of sheikh and sheikha, you know, old person or a person who can't fast due to severe thirst, and the pregnant woman and the nursing woman. Those, inshallah, we have to cover in future sessions. Once again, if you find anything beneficial here, please share it with others. If you have questions, you know, you can send them in to, you know, put them in the, just DM the Mizan Institute. Inshallah, we'll get back to you regarding your questions. Inshallah, tomorrow, Sheikh Mahdi is going to cover the 10-day, the intention of staying in a place for 10 days. I think that's what he says he's going to cover next session, for the traveler. These traveler ahkam, as I said in the beginning, are awesome. Like, I don't think anyone has really addressed these. I know he's working hard and diligently on getting the latest information and fatwas regarding these issues of the traveler and their fast, because a lot of people have these questions and there's a lot of difference of opinion amongst Maraja, and there's a lot of changes that happen with Ayatollah Sistani and Ayatollah Khamenei, both of them. There are changes that take place, and being up to date is not too easy. That's why I put that on his shoulders to do that part of these ahkam. So inshallah, tomorrow you guys can make the most of what he has to share. And with that, I thank all of you. Keep us in your du'as. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.